Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, Courtney. It's Sarah from Kent Memorial Library.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good.
We've got our new topic today, rural library staffing. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
So I don't know if our listeners, whomever they may be, and our patrons really understand what a challenge it is. What kind of issues do you face over in Millerton?
So we're really lucky in Millbrook, where we have an awesome staff. And I'm a little biased, but I absolutely love everybody that I work with. We are really fortunate to have a board that understands the importance of staffing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I kind of pushed for when I first started here is more full-time positions. So we went from having two full-time positions with the director and assistant director to now having four full-time positions with the director, assistant director, who's also our adult programmer, mm-hmm. a head of circulation, and our children's librarian.
Well.
And then we have six part-time clerks that work the desk, and two student pages who do shelving, and our maintenance man, Scott, who has been here forever and is awesome.
That's so a big staff.
Yeah, we're a small but mighty staff of 13, and I can't say enough good things about the people I work with. So I am actually really fortunate, I think, and definitely not in the position a lot of rural libraries are.
Yeah, that's nice. We're in a similar boat in that we have a really supportive board who has made it a priority to have people. I think we used to have one full-time person and everybody else was part-time. And a few years ago, it became clear that you can't hire people for part-time like you used to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started here at the library in 2006 when my children were little, and I was just looking for something part-time because I was home with them. And it was my youngest had just gone to kindergarten, and so I worked like a 20-hour week, basically 3 days a week, but I was most days out by three, and I would just go and pick up my kids after school and go back to my real work, which was, my family. People like me with that kind of flexibility, I don't think they exist in the same quantity around here that they used to. So we now have three basically full-time people and then five part-timers who do a variety of different things. But that was the only way we could attract and keep the staff that we needed, by paying them and keeping them here for those full-time hours. One of the things that we deal with in Kent, and that you might deal with it over there in Millbrook, is the difficulty it's sort of a larger regional issue with, you know, places to work can you afford to live here?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got a great amount of affordable housing that's on its way. We have some that's already here. I'm going to mess this up, but I think we probably have about 30 units in Kent, but we're about to have a lot more, which is great. But even then, it's just hard to find people that live nearby because it's such an expensive place to live. Do you have that same problem?
Yeah, I'd say so. We have, I want to say, three staff members that live in Millbrook, myself included. Mm-hmm. And then we've had people in the past who have worked here that have come as far from, like, New Paltz.
Wow.
Some people come from, like, Beacon, Carmel. So it's really, we're kind of spread out all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit. But it's the same thing. The housing in Millbrook has just
it's gone through the roof.
Gone up like crazy. So
yeah.
It's definitely a problem here, too.
Yeah. But, you know, I agree with you in that the priority of the board being staffing has made a real difference in that, you know, you can have the best library in the world, great collections, but if you don't have people running them and maintaining them and doing the programming and really doing outreach and pushing out and then bringing the people in, they don't come in. I mean, your diehard readers are going to come in no matter what, but it's always fun to have an event. You know, we do this big quiz night every September, and to look out in the room and see, I'll see a lot of my regular library patrons out there, but I'll see people that they couldn't care less about, you know, who we're raising money for or who's putting on the event. They just want to come to the event. So that whole aspect of, you know, adult programming and children's programming, bringing in people to come and get familiar with us and see all the other things that they can be connected with by coming in the door, that's how you generate, you know, new users. And if you don't have a staff that's working on those angles of bringing in people and doing exciting things and coming up with ideas that are going to stretch people a little bit and be like, oh, wow, I did want to learn about, you know, whatever you're learning about that week. That makes such a huge difference. So we've been lucky. When I came almost 20 years ago now, we were much smaller. So it's been fabulous to watch our library grow. And then the budget, of course, has to grow with it to be able to afford all of that.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool because I started in June 2020 when the library was closed for COVID. Like I came in and we were doing nothing because most people were doing nothing.
Right.
And it's been such a cool experience to watch it grow from literally nothing to what we are today. And I feel like the staffing has been a huge part of that. People, I think for the most part, really appreciate that they can come here and it's a comfortable space. It's a friendly environment. Like, we don't do the shushing anymore.
There's no shushing. No, we are as a matter of fact, I'm the loudest person in the building.
Yeah. So I think people appreciate that they can come in, they see friendly faces that they recognize.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like, I feel like the very core of what we do is like make these human connections.
It's people. It's a people business. It just so happens it's people who generally like to read.
Yes.
But it's about people. And we are, all of our small towns, I think, are in a similar boat in that it's that need for connection, and that's one of the reasons why people like living in places like this. It's pretty hard to be anonymous when you live in a town of 3,000 people. So
very hard.
Yeah, I mean, you can try. But the idea that libraries are now in many ways serving as kind of community centers where people do come in, and most of them want a conversation. You know, we specifically, when it was COVID time and, you know, there was all that grant money available for everything, we specifically did not get self-checkout kiosks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they were pushing those hard, you know, big time. Like, and when I go to visit my parents or my father's library in suburban Pittsburgh, he always just goes and he grabs his book and he checks out and he leaves and it goes through the little machine. And people here, they want to talk. They want to come in and talk and talk about what they're reading. And do you have any recommendations? And oh, I heard this in town. Do you know anything about that? Or what's happening over there with that new construction? Or they expect it. And again, the staff we have to have the kind of staff that's willing to do that. And I think that all libraries have become more and more people-focused versus just being, you know, big closets of bookshelves.
Absolutely. I know something that a lot of rural libraries have to contend with, and I feel like I know what your answer is already, but this idea of wearing many hats and kind of everybody kind of helps out with everything. Is it like that in your library?
It is absolutely like that. So, you know, we, as I said, we have 3 full-time people and then, you know, 5 more part-timers. But invariably, you need one of those part-timers when they're not here. For whatever reason, like you need another support at the desk or I have someone on vacation or I have whatever. I do all the things. I mean, that is my job, is to be able to manage my staff so that they can do everything, but they go away and they have lives and they have things that come up. And so I need to be able to actually do all of their individual jobs, and they cover for each other in the same way. We have the hardest time with the people that have a really specific skill set, like the people that manage the finances or, I mean, obviously I'm sure you clean the library when something's dirty in the middle of the day. Like,
yep.
You have to, someone's got to do it. So all of those things, yeah, we all do wear many hats. But I would prefer that versus sitting quietly in a room, you know, shushing people. That doesn't work for me either. So I think temperamentally, there's a type of person that is comfortable with that type of work that's very outward, and it's customer service, as far as I'm concerned, the best way to think about it. And then it's also, you know, because we're always, I'm sure you are too, thinking about raising money and all these things that we have to do to hit our budget marks, everything is development too at the same time. Like every interaction I have, I always have in the back of my mind, whether it's a good thought or not, this person is somehow, I need to connect this person to the library because I need them to care. I need them to care about what we're doing. So it's always, you know, it's my job to make an effort to build those human connections and to help my staff understand that that's their job too, you know. Improving that connection with the town and the library and the community and the kids, you know, I keep a bowl of toys on my desk so that I have kids in my office as much as possible, which is great, except when I'm on the phone, which can be kind of a problem. But but I would rather they came in and I told the person I was talking to, give me a minute, and I talk to the child, than send them away. So,
yeah, I think part of the reason that I love this job and this field so much is because I feel like every day I can come to work and have the opportunity to make somebody's day a little bit better.
Yeah.
And
great.
To me, there's not a lot of jobs, I think, where you have that, like, privilege, honestly, of being able to interact with people and help them. And, yeah, I think library staff, again, I'm biased, but I think we have some of the best jobs in the world.
I agree. I mean, before I became the director, I had always said, you know, don't tell anyone, but I would pretty much do the job of children's director for free, because it's just so fun. It's other people's kids and other people's money, you know. It's so fun. and maybe someday I'll go back to that. We'll see. But you know, we've got some big things coming up, so I'm going to be very focused on that. And yeah, I feel lucky to have a job like this in a place that I love. I know I'm very fortunate. But you know, unless we have in this area better housing and other places for people to live and work, we're all going to be struggling in the next 10, 20 years as we just get older and older and older. We need young families. We need all those socioeconomic levels here to be able to continue to hire the right people and then to be able to manage all of our patrons. So.
And community support, honestly, too, because I know we go out for our 414 vote. We just went out for our funding vote last year for the first time in almost 10 years.
And oh, wow.
We're going to be going out again next year and just trying to do it a little bit more consistently. But without that community support, we can't do what we do. So I feel like that's part of that reason, that what you said about, like, connecting people to
the library. Every interaction that has to be, you know, am I improving this connection? And, you know, I think that's a different way to think about library work. Certainly, you know, 50 years ago, they weren't focused on that. But we are about, you know, being good customer servants. It's really important, really important. We're going to have to wrap it up. Do you have anything exciting coming up to share?
Oh, Millbrook Community Day is coming up on September 20th. So we are in full preparation mode for that. It's going to be like a full day of events in the village from 9 to 3, starting with the farmer's market. We're going to have the bubble bus, which is always a big
hit.
We're going to have like a sensory lab that we're kicking off and pumpkin painting, and there's going to be live music, and it's going to be a really good time.
nice. On the 20th, we're doing our annual quiz night, which is always a big party. We get usually somewhere between 40 and 50 teams showing up, and it's a load of fun. So everybody should come.
Both of us will have very busy Saturdays.
It will be, yes. That Sunday will be quiet. Yeah. All right. Well, it was always good talking to you, and I hope to see you soon. And best of luck on your community day.
Best of luck with your quiz night.
Thanks.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio, 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com.